Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 242, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah! So many twos. It's a production of iHeartRadio and a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, I am overwhelmed with twos.
I know.
Which, of course, means June 22nd is, of course,
the combination. These are four national days I can get behind.
Okay.
National Chocolate Eclair Day.
Yep.
National HVAC Tech Day.
Count.
National Onion Rings Day.
All
National
right.
Kissing Day.
Ooh, I love kissing.
What do you like of those four? Kissing, chocolate eclairs, HVAC,
like put it all together, man.
Or onion rings.
I like to cram down some chocolate eclairs that have been pushed through some onion rings. Just
through an air duct?
And then, yeah, start afterwards, kiss a HVAC tech.
Yeah.
That's always been what I do on June 22nd, and it's surprising to me that now the rest of the nation is just catching up and they haven't even recognized my contributions at the forefront of this.
June 22nd, like, oh, my AC's broken. I need somebody to come fix it. And then you butter them up with eclairs and onion rings,
yep.
And you're like, yep. How about a little kiss, huh? If you want.
And by butter them up, I'm talking about these lips.
There you go.
Yeah,
anyway, shout out air conditioning, because in our increasingly hostile natural environment, it's kind of a necessity.
It's all Palm Springs.
Because I think there's a thing, right? 100 million Americans this week will be exposed to triple-digit heat.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, big week. Big week for big heat.
Big week for
big climate change.
Falling off of American society. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till light year stops taking up all my mind. It's just an actor, not the toy we know. Oh, no, no, no. It's an actor, man. Should have planned to do this with the actual hero. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man. Just giving people a little glimpse into what is happening inside my brain at any given moment over the past couple weeks as I just wrestle with the existence of the movie Lightyear.
Not apparently, that's a really good word to wrestle with that. You've definitely been grappling with that concept.
The consequences, the metaphysics of it all.
Metaphysics of Lightyear.
It's confusing, but I do appreciate Christy Yamaguchi, man. Also, at Waffle House, just a great follow on Twitter for anybody who's just catching up.
He's becoming a power Twitter account.
Oh, wild. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like daily.
Get out his way.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Get just in or
follow
get out.
Him, strap on for the ride like a rocket man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
June 21 was the longest day, longest day, longest day, longest day, longest day, longest day, longest day. It was the longest day. Shout out to the solstice that happened yesterday, June 21. Love that point of like the summer when you're like, this is the most light we get, baby.
Yeah, drink it in.
My favorite feeling of the summer is just how long the days are. And shout out to people who are like higher up on the globe at higher, what is that, latitudes or longitudes, whatever.
Latitude.
You get the real fucking wild ass days when it's like 9:30 and the sun's setting and you're like, love it, love it, love it. So anyway, Shout out to the long days.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant filmmaker, writer, actor, comedian, podcaster who co-founded what the AV Club called one of the best podcast networks, Small Beans, where you can find he and a bunch of the most talented people we worked with at Cracked hosting podcasts, if you've ever heard of those. He's one of the co-hosts of One Upsmanship, which is a new podcast on our network, an old podcast from the Small Beans days, but it's a great podcast that everybody needs to go check out immediately. EP'd by DJ Danil, if you need any extra reason to check it out. He is the brilliant, the talented, the kind, Michael Swaim!
Oh, brought the most important epithet last. The kind Michael Swaim, a.k.a. Quick Michael Swaim. They're right outside our yard. Yes, Michael Swaim. Go call the Roman god. No, wait. We need a more permanent solution to this, Michael. I just wanted to see if I could go low today. That's what that was about.
You definitely
did.
That
was beautiful.
Hey, gang.
Yeah.
And that was by Michael Swaim at Swaim_Corp. A decent follow on Twitter.
Yeah, not bad.
But I'll get there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an pretty okay follow on Twitter, that guy.
Good to see you, fellas.
Yeah. Good to see you, man.
Thank you for that kind-ass intro.
Yeah, man. Well, big fan, as always.
Big fan.
What's
big
new with you?
All. I mean, I'm excited to be here, mainly so I can talk about one-upsmanship, so I'm going to immediately launch into that. I'm just thrilled to be part of iHeart, man. Back under the Jack O'Brien umbrella, you know?
Yeah.
One step shy of stealing your identity. That's on the horizon, but we'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
For now, just under the same brand umbrella is good enough. And
you invited me to a party called Operation Dickie Greenleaf. I didn't know exactly what that was about.
That's actually part of a scam on my co-host, Adam Ganser. It's like the old switcheroo. That's a long
time. Got it.
But me and Adam just doing taking one-upsmanship weekly, which has meant in my life, what am I doing right now? Playing video games at all times.
Like, nonstop.
it used to be a monthly show. Now it's weekly. So I basically upped my video game intake so I can stay abreast of everything. Neon White's good. Neon White's good. It'll be 5 up. By this time next summer, that's what we're working toward.
How is the video game landscape right now? How are you feeling?
Spoken like someone who knows very little about the video game landscape.
How's a video game?
Are you winning,
stuff?
Son?
That's the second.
And like,
time.
What's your record in video games?
I think we went 2 days where I hit him with "Are you winning, son?"
I mean, retro's triumphant right now. Shredder's Revenge is tearing it up. Everyone I know is talking about that. And the game I just mentioned in the babble, Neon White, super fun. It's a good time to own a Switch, which I don't usually say. So I don't know. Yep. What about your Switches? If you're listening to this today, now, the 22nd, the Shadowrun trilogy just came to consoles. And you can get great nuggets like that over at One Upsmanship. There or by Googling video game release dates, but we do.
Well, hold on. Don't give away the whole show now.
Yeah, it's true. That's what it is. It's basically just an overview of release dates. Yeah, that's our thing.
It's actually very fun and hilarious and enjoyable, entertaining to listen to, even if you don't play the video games, which in some cases, like there are rare episodes where I don't know the game you're talking about, but I enjoy it.
Rare episodes, yeah.
Very rare, very rare.
Very rare.
You got that Switch, Jack? How are you living as a Switch owner?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I keep that shit on me.
You sent me a gift from the Let Me Ride music video from the Chronic album. I was like, what the fuck is this? And you're like, because I'm hitting Switches right now.
Right.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, multiple. I have multiple switches.
Like, okay, my man.
I just gotta keep one in every room, even though that's by design not what you're supposed to use a switch for.
A switch for every room.
Multiple switches. All right, Michael, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're gonna tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. I want to talk about how the results for the Democratic primaries in Los Angeles were reported. Or not, I guess not reported. There was a report the morning after in the New York Times that was like progressive Democrats got put on their ass and they're on the defensive because everybody's afraid of crime and siding with the police, which is like a standard narrative. I mean, that was like the headline on the top of Drudge Report heading into the election. So like the mainstream media knew what they wanted to say about the election. And it turns out the results were not that. The New York Times even should have known at the time that they published their article, but the results were surprisingly progressive, like shockingly progressive if you had just been reading the mainstream media accounts of like what voter sentiment was in Los Angeles. So we're going to talk about what the actual results were and how the New York Times got it exactly wrong. I guess we don't know exactly how they got it exactly wrong, but what that strategy is all about, getting things exactly wrong when it comes to energy for progressive solutions. We're going to talk about the Texas GOP and their weekend. And of course, we will talk about MRF, which is an anthropomorphic amalgam of 10,000 Nerf darts with the ability to run and shoot a Nerf gun that Nerf is about to introduce as their spokesbeing. And it's wild. It's weird. And yeah, so we'll talk about MRF. But before we get to any of that, Michael, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Well, Jack, this time there was one clear winner, and it's Nachtkrop, which I thought in my ignorance meant night shits.
Right.
I was like looking up, I'm like shitting way, I'm waking up to shit way more in the night now than I did as a younger man. And I was looking it up. I don't know. I think I was composing some kind of joke for Twitter about it. And I'm like, I need the German. And I assumed it's Nachtkrop, but it's not. So I ended up learning about something much, much scarier, which is the Night Raven, a mythical Austrian and Southern German bugbear-like creature that is a flying bone demon raven with a hollow cavity in its chest. And if your kids don't go to sleep on time, the Nachtkrop comes and stuffs them in its bony chest cavity and carries them back to its nest and devours them. So it's one of those classic Grimm's fairy tales we used to use in addition to hitting our kids. We like hit them and say, a demon bird's going to eat you. Now leave me alone. Behave. Right. Good system.
And here's a nice bedtime story to get you relaxed. And
my partner and I are just considering having our first child now. So I need to start learning this kind of shit. This you is the crucial information.
Yeah. Start with Grimm's and just go darker from there. Yeah. Holy shit.
I'm just waiting for the Adam Scott movie like Krampus where they just completely retcon Nachtkrop and now he's like a really funny, you know, banking jokes off Nachtkrop. It's going to happen.
I never saw Krampus. Is that kind of the idea with Krampus? Is they like took it in a funny direction, but it's still sort of a horror.
It's still like grotesque horror, but I don't think you're supposed to take it seriously as such, if you know what I mean. It's got a bit of a wink. It's like Leprechaun in the Hood, but they know what they're doing, which kind of loses some of the magic for me.
Right.
You like people to be completely not self-aware if they're going to whiff that hard, I think.
Right. Did you guys have anything like that growing up, like a boogeyman or a story or, you know, a warning that you like really stuck with you? I think I've talked on here before. I had like this imaginary blonde haired guy with like raccoon eyes who, but I think that was like nobody told me that. My subconscious just produced him.
Wow.
And that just kept me up at night. But did you have anything like cultural handed down to you?
No, just the neighbor that my parents always told me, if you fuck around in that neighbor's yard, he's going to pull a shotgun on you. And he did. That was probably the scariest thing, I think, from childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I had the Catholic Church. That was basically, I thought that I was going to hell because I said swear words in my mind.
Right.
Until the age of like 32. No, until like the age of 7 or 8. I was like, well, that's it. I'm fucked.
Yeah. I've already sworn so much on this podcast. I think they demoted me another circle in hell. So, yeah.
Send them to the really bad one.
Yeah. The one for the swearers and cursers.
What is something, Michael, that you think is overrated?
Well, first and foremost, the Nachtcrop. I mean, everyone's talking about it. And it's, you know, like it's the essence of the zeitgeist. And I think it's a little, dare I say, not good, like not healthy.
Everyone's discovering it the same way, too. They're crapping a lot at night.
That's right.
Doing a rough German translation.
The pathway toward Nachtcrap radicalization right there. Yeah, we got to dismantle that pipeline. I'm going to say going viral, like off of a hit joke on Twitter. If you haven't gathered, Twitter's my only social media thing, and I've like honed it to a fine point, right? I care a lot about Twitter. And I think I use it as like a writer's room. One of my favorite things that cracked was, and this can be brutal, there's a lot of bad things about this, but I enjoyed the cutthroat writer's room with a dozen comedy writers who are all like shouting their joke over each other. Like, I think this will be, or I'm the loudest and take up the most space, or society raises me up to a point where you'll listen to my punchline. However the mathematics breakdown, I do really like a raucous writer's room. And I think that instinct followed me to Twitter, where I always want that joke to break through and blow up. And I finally got over it, because when it does happen, doesn't lead to new followers, first off. But second of all, I realized, man, I'm having so much more fun with my small beans community, which is sort of been this new experience for me where we go a lot deeper with our community. Like, I know a lot more of the users by name and stuff about their lives, not in a way where it becomes unhealthy, but just a parasocial friendly way. And like our Discord server, you know, over at patreon.com/smallbeans is super vibrant. And I love like having a cozy, it feels like doing a live show for like 25 people instead of 1,000. And I think there's something really special about that. So I'm enjoying that lately. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is like one of the gifts of the internet that shouldn't be underrated, is definitely like the small communities that bloom up.
Yeah, I used to think you sort of had to hit B4 quadrant and make it big in this world. And now I think right. You really just have to find your people, right? You have to find your audience fragments, and you can leverage that. It doesn't have to be that big of a group to make it as an artist, which is super cool. So I turned overrated into a positive. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, no, I love it. What's something that you think is underrated?
Well, there's this podcast, One Upsmanship, on the iHeart Radio app, and we're really trying to get it to blow up and go viral. So go check it out. if that could blow up, man, it would. Ooh, the catharsis I would feel.
I saw it go viral, but actually the authorship was completely changed, and it was a 19-year-old in Texas.
Oh, I'll take it. That's good. Yeah.
That's good. Anyways.
Lil Nas X can tweet it out without accreditation, and I'll be like, we made it! even if he's dunking on us, I don't care. Radical self-acceptance, which is specifically in this case, I'm talking about work-life balance, because, man, I've spent so many years trying to work really hard because I have very specific career goals and I want projects to come to life, but also thinking all the time, this stress is going to kill me, man. This is not good work-life balance. You're a workaholic. This is bad. And I had a great therapist who started telling me that there's no right path. And one thing you could try is thinking, what if you're not a workaholic? You just like kick ass and are very highly accomplished. And man, that's changed a lot for me and has not negated my quest to attain more work-life balance like I thought it would, if that makes sense. So be kind to yourself, you know, like accept yourself for what you are, try and spin it in a positive light. And I think you'll be able to see like you can make changes more easily in your life. I'll have funny stuff to say later. Sorry.
No, but that's something like I think is very important that I'm also just learning is like that I, when I go into therapy specifically, I tend to like pathologize things and be like, well, I'm sad and therefore I'm depressed. And like sometimes that's true, but also like it's not always like the case that it's a pathology. Sometimes you're just a person doing your best. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like the radical self-acceptance of like this is it's easy for me to just strip the humanity from myself for like as recently as like 10 minutes ago where mm-hmm. I'm just like, well, what was I thinking? That idiot. Yeah. It's like, no, that was you. You were doing your best. You're continuing to do your best.
Yeah. Just remind yourself that there's no one way to navigate life.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if like your path is normal. It's your path. That's fine.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I think the biggest thing you got to learn when you start therapy too is just to stop comparing yourself to other people or comparing your path to others, because that's the most like the most violent act you can commit to your individuality is to be like, why aren't I like this person that I am not? And I will torture myself with this notion versus saying every single person is doing something in their own way. Not everyone's paths are going to look that way, and to begin to put judgment on it, it can be a slippery slope. And I think, that was the biggest thing I had to accept over the years of like trying to, you know, get into like working in media and just shit like that, of thinking like, well, at this point you need to be here, or at this point you need to be doing this, when completely not realizing like my path here like had a lot of winding like turns and things, but mm-hmm. they all literally add up to this moment actually, because I thought being a lobbyist was a waste of time, and now it's helped build like a foundation for a lot of like my perspective even as a podcast host. So you never know where life's going to take you, just embrace it.
Yeah.
Look at Christy Yamaguchi, man, 10 years so they'll be all our boss.
Yeah.
Have to get Waffle House tatted.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions, like just looking back on the last 20 years of my life, like one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's like too late to do anything, or that like it's worth it to like compare yourself to other people and be like, well, this, you know, like
at this age, this happened.
Yeah. At this age, I'm too late to like branch out into this thing. And it's like, no, it's not true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty of people switch careers like midlife, or you know, when you hear 27 year olds be like, I'm so old, I can't, like it's too late, like you're just like, yo man.
Yeah. Like
you're like, oh, you feel bad, then I should have been the most depressed asshole if you think you should have been doing all this shit at 27, because I was not.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And I saw a couple headlines about this, but Miles, you dug in a little bit more. The Texas State GOP met for their convention.
Yeah.
And then like had a, you know, family meeting and decided we're going to be the worst.
As a family, let's come together at this summit and just truly embody everything that is wrong with this country. We want to make this our platform. And they, I mean, this their new party platform that they just ratified, it looks like a MAGA value menu. It's like, it's all kinds of nonsense. One of the first things, like a lot of things got headlines, but we'll get to the thing that I'm probably, that I imagine most people are like, I think this is more about this other point. But a lot of things got headlines because it was the most homophobic, gun-loving, ridiculous, backwards shit ever. First, they want to set a requirement for Texas students to, quote, learn about the humanity of the pre-born child, including teaching that life begins at fertilization and requiring kids listen to live ultrasounds of gestating fetuses. Let's see. They also want to remove the legislature's power to, quote, regulate the wearing of arms with a view to prevent crime. Okay, so don't try and control the guns, because if we just have more loose guns out there, the better, I'd imagine, is what they're saying there. Also, this is one that got a lot of headlines. It's treating homosexuality as, quote, an abnormal lifestyle choice. This isn't anything that has been in the platform in 2018, 2022. This is new. Jesus, because it seemed like at a certain point they had at least been like, all right, we lost that battle. There's no point in trying to keep pushing back. But as we've seen, homophobia is back and kicking. Then also deeming gender identity disorder, quote, a genuine and extremely rare mental health conditions. And then trying to obviously punish people who are, you know, trying to attain gender affirming surgery or helping people seek that. Another one is the ensuring, quote, freedom to travel by opposing Biden's clean energy plan and California style anti-driver policies, which basically says you're not going to turn a traffic lane into something pedestrians or cyclists or mass transit can use. These big ass roads are for our trucks.
Dually. You got to get the dually.
They want to also look, there's every job is essential business because that's a pushback against COVID-19 mandates. Abolishing the Federal Reserve, the nation's central bank, and guaranteeing their right to use alternatives to cash, including cryptocurrencies, just for good measure.
Wow.
Yeah.
They really hit all the things. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And this is all like in a way that this goes on the fact that they said Biden is also not the legitimate president, that they would vote on secession in 2023. And, you know, Texas always loves to talk about secession until their fucking privatized electrical grid takes a shit. And then they're like, please, federal money. Mm-hmm. So this is like a pretty normal back and forth flow of dumb ideas. But when you look at all this stuff, it's so like it's provocative, hateful shit that a lot of people are like, I think it may be the part where they buried it, the trying to repeal the Voting Rights Act of 1965. That might be the thing they're looking for. Really? That's what they're most interested in as a party? Because then they can fully just discriminate against whoever the fuck they want to negate votes and fully have a lock on that process. So I think with all that stuff, it's like most bills that you see the GOP put forward, they put together the most fucked up version just to dial it back to 50% fucked up. But even then, that's like breaking barriers of like cruelty that we've, you know, not seen before. So it looks like that's a little bit of what's happening with this new GOP platform. But yeah, it's getting tense over there in Texas, it seems.
Just like making children listen to ultrasounds, live ultrasounds of fetuses, like I don't know. It really has like some Clockwork Orange mixed with, I don't know, like a terror camp, you know, like just a extremist training, like ground. I don't know. It's very, very, I'm just having a hard time picturing like the people who are like, yep, that is the country I want to live in, other than like very, very angry people who would get over that and maybe 5 minutes later and be like, okay, but like that wouldn't actually be a good place to live, right?
Well, the whole thing is that it's all of this stuff is said to reinforce their worldview, which is we can do whatever we want and we can treat whoever we want, however the fuck we want to. You're not going to mandate like basic levels of treatment for other people. That's not we have this worldview. It's not about freedom. It's really the freedom to discriminate. So that's really what they're marching towards constantly. And I get that most people are like, do I want to live in a place where you're saying like, execute the parents of LGBTQ youth?
Right.
Like, that's, you want to see that shit go down in your neighborhood? Who knows? But the idea is to say this kind of incendiary shit and be like, yeah, because that's what we're about. We make other people panic. We're not panicked about our dwindling maybe efficacy or potency as a white people in the United States. Because we can now just sort of mandate all this other cruelty with a smile on our face and say, well, that doesn't touch us. We just want to fuck their party up. We want to make their time as difficult as possible.
And they put it under the freedom of speech umbrella always. It feels like freedom of speech is now such a broad brush that it's painted as like my ability to, you know, I don't want to give them cake. Now I want them rounded up. I'm just talking. That's my freedom of speech.
Right.
And it's like a completely flexible definition that's, it's just interesting that it is always a strategy play, right? Well, I mean, that's the heartening bit is you're like in straight polls. And if you just ask the average American, I mean, do you want parents of LGBTQ youth to be like criminalized? They in a landslide, it's no, doesn't largely affect me. But everything's a strategy play. They have so much leverage. There's this system that's allowed for the ability of an extremist minority to hold everyone else hostage. And we just sort of watch the train barrel out of control and go like, I wonder if the checks and balances will kick in at some point here.
No.
Yeah.
You know,
it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I think we're all like waiting to see, is this the last gasp of these hateful dinosaur people and we just survive it and they die off or something? Or is this the new normal? Like, is this an intransigent, intractable thing?
Yeah. I think, like we always say, like extremism is always going to exist where inequality just remains rampant,
right?
Because it offers a very tidy perspective or worldview as to like why you may be experiencing lack that you might not be able to articulate, but you know is there. And based on everybody else who looks like you in your community is like kind of like sort of marching to this other beat. They're like, yeah, it's that. It's drag queens in the libraries.
And because we're trained to value like or to measure our achievement by like financial status and compare mm-hmm. ourselves to others, you always have that deep exactly. down feeling where it's like, well, it's got to be some other category of people are fucking me up. Like my privileges are diminishing. That has to mean something. Someone else is, you know.
When realistically, they should just, yeah, look at the billionaire class. It's like, yeah, the reason your wages suck yeah, is because yeah. they stole all your money. They have. Your house.
All the money's in a
to
big
buy,
bag over it's a, there.
That guy. They made yeah. everybody a bag holder. I don't know. Maybe totally. Okay, you're into crypto. You get crypto. You remember bag holders. Yeah. So that's what they're doing to everybody. And we're over here pointing fingers at the wrong fucking people because that's the biggest fear is that they realize the people who control all the capital are gonna be like, they're gonna realize we're the architects of their suffering and not immigrants or the rights of gay people.
Right. And the billionaires have massive amounts of money to spend on branding, right? So like yeah. that's I think why like in the mainstream, like that is like it's become clearer and clearer to me. And like this kind of ties into the next story, but that the mainstream media is like complicit in this, right? Like they're funding
100%. I mean, it's you know, you think of like the companies that move mountains of money, like even like BlackRock, and they have their right. hands in media too. It's like, yeah, they're going to start turning up on like what the real issues are. No, that's just for like not on the real TV. Like Crystal Ball was on Bill Maher this weekend and she was trying to be like, man, you guys are talking a bunch of weird fallacy type shit. And like he got so pissed. That like
Bill Maher,
yeah, of course, because she's like, man, you're really going to blame inflation on like supporting poor people? It's like, yeah, because Biden decided to make all this money. And it was like him and this other tired ass like a conservative. And you could just tell that it was like it was wearing him down. And like there's a lot of tweets about it where like past guests have been said, like when you go on that show, do not push back against Bill Maher because he doesn't like when people are, you know, thinking for themselves out loud on that show. But just to give you a little bit of insight into like the tone of this GOP little get together in Texas, just so you know, okay, we've fully come to the clowns have taken over the circus tent like point, obviously, because the moment they, you know, the GOP embraced Donald Trump, it's like, okay, there's no turning back from this now because you have fully opened the gates. John Cornyn, who gave like some closing remarks at this thing, who normally says some of the dumbest shit you've ever heard that would delight MAGA people. He got fucking booed when he was giving his closing remarks. You want to know why? Because he kind of half said, yeah, I might support that very tepid gun control bill because of the horrific mass shooting that happened in my state. I just want you to hear him try and speak and him getting shouted at.
So let's take our country back. Starting with Congress in November. Thank you. God bless you. And may God continue to bless our great state of Texas.
That's John yeah. Cornyn. Okay? You're senator. And then, you know, they weren't even feeling fucking when poor Ted Cruz's just behind went up there. They were also, he was getting smoked. Dan Crenshaw was getting fucking harassed by Proud Boys, I guess. So now, you know, it's completely, you're starting to see them lose control and they become further and further extreme. And the fucked up part in all of this now is that like, as this is happening, Democrats are pouring money into races to elevate the extremist MAGA candidates because they think it's going to be easier for them to win. But what Jesus. They're doing is just, there's just further entrenching this shit into the GOP by spending money to even mention these people on TV because their whole thing's like, well, we're not going to challenge our own beliefs on governance. So just be like, yo, platform the fucking undesirables and then we don't have to do nothing. And it's a very, like you said, very messy road to this midterm and 2024 when you look at everything combined.
Yeah. I mean, the two threads pulling on me, obviously, are like politically, you know, just understanding the frustration with like the mainstream Democrats, the Biden administration, like recognizing that there is no energy for that. There's no future for that solution, but also being like scared of this shit. And yeah, I don't know. I would say it like feels like a false dichotomy, but like we saw in the last election that like the things are so stacked in the favor of like the mainstream Democratic answer that like it doesn't feel like there's a short-term fix where suddenly like people are like it feels like it's the mainstream Democratic Party or this like super far right extremist option, which is more well developed than the left, more realistic option that I think would have more energy if the mainstream media was willing to acknowledge it. But that kind of ties into the next story, which like based on the mainstream media news coverage after the LA Democratic primary a couple weeks back, you would have thought the population of LA had just like gone all the way to the right. From the New York Times, the quote paper of record, progressive Democrats were knocked on the defensive in their own party over crime and homelessness on Wednesday after voters in two high-profile California races delivered a stark warning about the potency of law and order as a political message in 2022. And they were talking about the Caruso, like, they had basically called that election for Caruso. Like, they, I think, acknowledged it was going to be a runoff, but they were like, he won out. And, you know, it's just generally like a movement to the right of voters in Los Angeles. And then like in there, I've been trying to figure out like what actually happened, just like actual results from some of the progressive candidates that I voted for, that I know people were supporting, or just people who I saw on billboards like around Los Angeles who like put up things like, here's what the budget's actually like. This is an actual billboard on Crenshaw in LA. It's like, here's what budgets actually look like. And, you know, it's just a bar graph with like police spending. And it shows like how massive police spending is compared to like all these other priorities that, you know, just like one piece of truth that like could reach people directly. And so finally we're getting results in, like not the what the New York Times assumed was going to happen, but actual right. results. And it is wildly successful for progressive candidates, like the people who were putting out that information and being like, just doubling down on funding the police is not the answer. Those people had surprisingly a lot of success. It's basically the exact opposite of what the New York Times article has said. And yeah, that's not coming out in the New York Times. That came out in a column in the Los Angeles Times that was like, is LA more progressive than San Francisco now? Like that was the angle they had to give it to make it like an opinion piece. But it's the only place in the mainstream where I was seeing coverage of these facts. Like, I'll just read directly from it. In an election year supposedly defined by the public's anxiety over rising crime and diminishing law enforcement, Los Angeles is on the verge of electing its first abolitionist city council member.
Whoa.
it's all part of what the 32-year-old community activist calls a tidal wave of progressiveness that's washing over LA. Elsewhere on the east side, labor organizer Hugo Soto Martinez, who campaigned on having fewer cops and repealing the law that allows the city to remove homeless encampments, has pulled ahead of incumbent city councilman Mitch O'Farrell in District 13. And Karen Bass just pulled ahead of Caruso, the person right. that everybody was like fawning over and was like, this is proof that the Democrats are fucked in the 2024 election and 2022 midterms. So it's basically the exact opposite of the story that the mainstream media was telling in the run-up to the election and the immediate aftermath. But no, now they have just stopped talking about it. It's like, this is, I think, us running into again the most insidious but also like effective way that progressive energy and politics are opposed, which is depriving them of any oxygen in any of the mainstream sources that we're taught are like both the only option for fact-checked information, and also we're taught that they are like left-leaning and like liberal, and like neither of those are the case. But like that
that really puts us in a precarious position where we have this one option that is kind of well-founded that we heard from in Texas that is, or like well-formed, I guess, where they have all the talking points, they have ways of getting the information out. They have like these national figures who have all, you know, have ways of reaching people who are saying, fuck the mainstream and like the way that this country has been run. And then we have these candidates who are to the left of what the mainstream has been and like the, you know, complicity and all the Wall Street thievery and bullshit that has gone on. And they are not allowed to, like, they will not be acknowledged in the mainstream conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tidy way of keeping people from having multiple forms of analyzing what's happening. I feel like it's the New Republic or the Atlantic today. I forget, one of the two. There's like this article that was like, liberals are actually ignoring these crime waves. And it was like another thing trying to prop up those fucked up New York Times articles where they're like, these are like the sourcing, although there is some like editorializing happening, are like pretty good. They're well sourced. It's like, because it, you're not even questioning the fact that they're like, according to my cop friend who hates the poor.
Right.
It's just a very interesting thing to even come watch, to even see now the media come out to sort of push back against like a thing that they've been hearing. It's like, I hear people are taking shots at like the idea that maybe the police and local news are really amplifying this crime thing. And they're like, but that's they created some term for like it's not anecdotal, but anecdotal research. I don't know, some nonsense thing. All to say that it's like, but yeah, here's the deal. It's really bad. And, you know, the DA, Larry Krasner in Philly, I mean, he's cantankerous.
Mm. Oh, you can't use a strong word like that without backup, you know, backing it up with lots of stats. So,
yeah, well, but I guess it does reveal this whole thing where it's like, it sounded like the thrust of the piece was like, yeah, and those DAs were bad. So it is an odd place we find ourselves in constantly. So we grapple with many kinds of messaging around what is or is not actually happening around us.
And what is or is not even claimed by each team. Like, it's wild to me that the mask mandate is even in the plan. I mean, I understand why it is, because I'm in the pot like a frog being boiled, and I get it. Like, I've been around, but I'm just imagining someone dropping to the sky from like the 1800s and trying to explain, why are you wearing a mask? Oh, there's a disease, like the plague, if you're familiar with from your time. Oh, okay, well, I'll wear a mask too. Oh, so you're like a liberal type of peasant from the medieval times. You know, like, it's wild to me that that even indicates that. And then the same token, I think a medieval person would honestly be flabbergasted to come to the year 2022 and see all this miraculous technology and see that when someone like goes against social mores, we still break out chains and cages and weapons. And that's, we haven't thought of anything better. That's just wild to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good PR for the chains, cages, and weapons crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. Big chain weapon. Big chain
is, woo. Yeah. they're crushing in the messaging department. And I think that's why, because we consume just nonstop propaganda all day throughout most of our lives in the United States. And then you're like, how come like we can't come up with an actual good solution to problems?
Well, and yeah, it's the physical instantiation of the internet interaction that everyone hates most, which is when someone says something truly hateful or despicable, and you actually reveal that you've been upset, and they go, oh, are you mad? You've lost argument. Like, we as a society are doing that to our people. We send in like this person who's trained to and equipped to escalate a situation. Situations get out of control, and then we cite those stats as why we need those people. It's never made sense, and it still doesn't. Yeah, it's just a cycle that has to be broken.
Right.
We've talked about there's this idea in this essay, I Can Tolerate Anything Except the Out Group, that talks about how like each class is only aware of the class directly above them and the class directly below them. And they're taught to like hate both of them for like different reasons. So the class, the group directly above them is like, you know, holding them down, and the group directly below them, like you're allowed to look down on. And therefore, by extension, nobody really hates or like picks up any animus towards the people who are actually billionaires and are actually like, you know, controlling things. Like they are essentially mythical figures to
They're
us.
They're insulated by the very fact that you can't even comprehend how much money they have.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. But I think like this, the way that the media is covering this guy spending, how much did Caruso spend on his election?
40 million.
Like, almost. Yeah. So like so many millions of dollars to run and come in like a distant second for mayor in Los Angeles, and the media is covering it as like a wake up call and not covering any of the actual like populist energy on the ground for you know, things that are outside of like the moneyed interests and the way that moneyed interests prefer politics to run. Like, that it feels like a fixable problem. It doesn't feel like it's a limit of human imagination. It does feel like it's a limit of our media and how our media has always been viable. You know, like you can, like Jeff Bezos, like the richest human maybe in the history of the world, owns the Washington Post. You know, Elon Musk is on the verge of acquiring Twitter. Like that, and that, I think one of when we had like some kind of centrist progressives on, they were like, that's always been the case. Like there's always been really wealthy people. And it's like, yeah, but that's a bad thing because they are controlling how things are messaged. And like, we're never going to like get past this inability to like see how things actually run and like not be crabs in a bucket who are, you know, always just pulling, like fighting amongst ourselves if we don't have like an actual honest media that isn't, you know, owned by wealthy interests or funded exclusively by wealthy interests.
Make your family listen to the Daily Zeitgeist.
This is what I'm saying, Michael. That's
the one.
I see you've read ahead to our final point on this.
You are all responsible for indoctrinating five people. Yeah.
But first, this message from Big Chain.
Big Chain.
I find my truest freedom of speech on Parler. Come to Parler.
I only buy my big chains at a big chain store that is Big Chain, Big Chain. It's where you buy your big chains at a chain store, national chain. You got to make sure you're supporting big chains obviously, in the big chain business. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And let's talk about, what's the Murph? Murph.
It's time.
It's time. It's time to talk Murph.
What's that?
So we accept clowns, sentient doughmen, you know, fake military officers who were racist, and, you know, as brand mascots, I'm talking about like that.
Animals happily eating themselves, like a pig cooking bacon. We're fine with that.
I mean, we practically demand it. Make right, us feel exactly. Okay about eating bacon. But people seem to be pretty unnerved by a new...
They're upset.
They're unnerved by Murph, the new Nerf spokes Perf. Being. Yeah. So it's an anthropomorphic amalgam of 10,000 Nerf darts with the ability to run and shoot a Nerf gun, despite a lack of anything resembling a face or eyes or any sensory inputs.
He looks like those videos you see of like neglected poodles that like came in off the street and they're like, and their hair was so matted, they couldn't even see. That's what Murph looks like, a matted dog who can't even see, like, or one of those sheep that needed a
We got to shave
sheep.
Murph down badly for Murph's own good.
Oh, God. Yeah. Reveal the true hideous nature of Murph underneath
That's,
those Murph
Murph
those
is
Nerf
gritty
parts.
Underneath. That's the worst
right?
part. You shave a Murph, you just get gritty. Yeah.
Yeah, gritty is who it made me think of.
Right. I'd like to see a combination, like one big gritty eye. Patches of fur in between the poosh dongs.
Coming out the Nerf darts, right?
Yeah, point of order. Those are not darts, right? They're just Nerf. Are they darts? Do they have tips? Oh, they have suction cup tips. That's even
worse. That's how they're stuck, right?
Because I'm a man. No, the tips face out, it looks like.
Oh, no.
So, like, wow. If he touches you, you're getting the... It's not Nerfy. It's like octopus.
Oh, yeah. He could get stuck to you.
Yeah, you're getting suction cupped, bro. I'm not a fan.
You just find Nerf stuck to like some piece of glass somewhere in a city, right, just right. being like, kill me.
Murph uses your bathroom and there's just like 30 darts stuck to the porcelain lid.
Yeah, but since 1969, Nerf has never had a mascot. And they're like, we're doing it. That tradition ends now. They unveiled Murph. People, like some of the headlines, sorry, Nerf, but your new mascot is terrifying. Ooh. Nerf unveils a mascot made of 10,000 Nerf darts and people are terrified. And then quote a social media post that says, kill it. Nerf's new mascot, Murph, will stalk your nightmares. So they've also announced that Murph uses they, them pronouns.
Okay.
Which I do think this is
frankly cheapens the whole thing.
Completely cheapens it. Like this is another way that progressive Pride? Values. Like, what's that?
Yeah, right. No, it makes sense. Unveiled during Pride, you're like, fuck. That could look selfish as a company. Make them non-binary.
The whole way that like progressive ideas get adopted by like marketers, like almost definitely like white guys in their 40s and 50s who are just like parroting back.
Grossly overpaid to come up with Murph also. You know, right. This was a huge deal for many fiscal quarters.
Hundreds of millions of dollars were spent on Murph. And it's just some outsider person's like, you know, loose, bad misunderstanding of the intention of those values. But like when they're made into like, and Murph uses they, them pronouns, it becomes a meme, and it becomes like a thing, an easy thing for kids and then conservatives to like just dismiss.
Right.
Which is, and also an easy thing for to make Joe Biden feel good about the job he's doing, as we saw on one of the Jimmy's, Kimmel, I think it was. He was like, "What? Why are you so fucking optimistic, Joe Biden?" And he's like, "Come on, man.
You see Murph? Did you see, you see them in that commercial?"
Right.
Like, Jesus, Joe. And this also comes at a time when many people in the LGBTQ community are wondering, what the fuck are Democrats even doing right now? This has been a full-on assault from the right. And, what, we got Murph? That's it? Where's the Department of Education having some kind of like real, like forceful opinion on what's happening or anything like that? A lot of the times people are like, all we get is just like empty platitudes and, you know, these new fucking sports or these toy mascots being like, and here's a little crumb for this community. Because imagine if Murph came out in the summer or fall of 2020, could you imagine? You imagine like his Nerf darts make like dreadlocks or some shit?
Kente pattern, because
that was like, it's the same lack of awareness of just people just thinking progress means I just put a sticker on something or a logo on something, or I change the appearance of my logo, rather than there are groups of people experiencing untold levels of oppression, and I'm here to stand directly beside them saying I am an ally in this fight, rather than being like, hey man, if you buy this, we get it enough that we will just outwardly say we're on the right side of the conversation. Other than that, we really don't give a fuck because we'll accept, we just know money. It sells more.
That's
shit.
Basically the message. Yeah. Murph looks like if you frightened him, he'd shoot darts in all directions.
Right.
Right.
Or if he climaxed, or if they climaxed. Yeah.
That's now true. We're I'm sorry Murph to misgender porn? Murph.
Yeah.
Don't get into the Murph porn now. That's our probably already up on. Like mini Dolly already, that AI thing.
Also, that effect is a complete ripoff, incidentally, of a fabulous Major Lazer music video, Light It Up.
Major Lazer.
So it's a failure on every level.
But we've talked before about how militarized Nerf guns have become. They're essentially candy-colored, like, replica firearms, gun manufacturers in the NRA are... like off the record, but have been quoted as being like, we are eager to see these in the hands of kids to wean them into gun ownership.
Really? Oh, I didn't know it was that conscious.
Yeah. Nerf guns are actually used in school shooting drills for teachers, not by any like mandate, but because, they're the closest safe alternative. And it's.
So you're basically saying it's a practice gun.
Right.
The whole idea now of, like, you know, when I was a kid, I played cops and robbers with guns and fake guns and like cap guns and shit. The whole idea now of giving kids toy guns is becoming weirder and weirder and more morbid and perverse. Like,
it's wild. Man, I had one of my classmates, their mom was an epidemiologist, and like this was in elementary school. Her whole work was devoted to getting toy guns out of kids' hands. Because of like, even in like the 80s, and there were people mistaking kids for having guns, being real guns and getting shot and things like that. And just generally like what it does to like sort of further this thing. And I remember at the time we were like, man, yo, his mom doesn't let him play with any of the cool shit. Right. And you're like, your mom is from the future.
Well, and I'm not even saying
to fucking warn us.
Because I'm a big, like, violent video games are fine by me guy, and I can, like, get into the details of that. But oh,
totally.
I'm just saying, not even from the kid's perspective. Believe me, I love Nerf War. Like, every birthday party when I was 7, 8, 9 was Nerf War. And I get the thrill and the fun of, like, paintball and all these things. It's just, I'm just saying, as an adult now, like, if I had a birthday party and saw all my kids and their friends shooting Nerf guns at each other, there's no way I'm not excusing myself to the bathroom to, like, cry. Like, there's only one thing yeah. that makes me think of right. now. It's right. just I mean, disturbing.
Our,
yeah.
our, like, equivalent, like, the most lit thing you could have is what, maybe a Super Soaker, like, 250?
Yeah,
the one that had
like
the pull pump, yeah. like wasn't the OG like neon green one that we all had where you drink the water out of it, it tastes terrible.
Or the backpack that shoots 1,000 balls and then right. you got to pack it up for 45
minutes.
Pack them
all up. Like there was Ballzooka. I remember we had Ballzooka and that shit wasn't like launching it. Like it was basically as strong as you were, you could get the Ballzooka to shoot shit out. But
the Ultimator could concuss you. Yeah.
Well, yeah. See, I missed the Ultimator by about 3 years. And now I see videos of like dads who are like dressed up, who are like military guys who are dressed up in tac gear, mm-hmm. like playing with their like Nerf guns. Like there's this one video on Reddit of this dad who's clearly some kind of like, you know, military operator comes in and clears the room like tactically with a Nerf gun, like throws in like a Nerf flashbang. And
that's
then
crosses
like just,
into the tips of the darts
dude,
with a
he's
Bowie
like,
knife. Yeah.
He's like cutting the pie like by coming in at an angle, like by like his entry point. He's like double tapping his kid in the chest and like his other kid, and you're like, what God. The fuck is
that's
this
actually
video?
The origin story of Murph. Is Murph was one of the children that was taken down in that raid and has come back as an Uber being
a vengeance.
Oh, okay. A vengeance.
Yeah. He's like Vecna. Of the
that's
Nerf
going
world.
To be rolled out in the coming years. I mean, but it does feel like that queasiness is there constantly for all parents in America. And it's, I'd be surprised if it is a complete coincidence, and we'll never see this because like the documents of around a marketing campaign are typically protected, like the, you know, JFK assassination documents, but like, there's no way it's a complete coincidence that as things become weirder and weirder, and as the idea of giving children like candy colored ARs to like run around and play with becomes more just overtly strange, they are making a change to like a cuddly spokes being that
is made of bullets.
Is made of like soft fun bullets instead of, you know,
right.
I mean, when you put it that way, yeah, that's
like imagine a character made of like fucking, you know, 7.62 rounds and you're just like, hey,
right.
And you're
right.
like, what the fuck is this? And they're all pointed outward. Okay.
Yeah. But as if to say fire wildly in all directions. That's our method.
Oof. Right. It looks from a distance, Murph looks like they're made of like Koosh material.
I thought it was like a Koosh mascot, not a Nerf mat. Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Also, why is Nerf Murph got to have that? Why they got to have that like big chain on like they're a rapper?
Yeah, there is
yeah,
one
there's
shot.
There's one
where,
with a gold chain. It's odd.
Like a big Nerf plate.
Big Nerf piece, chest
interesting.
Piece.
Okay, well, I'll keep my eye on you, Nerf.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you
Welcome
know, keep your eyes peeled for. Our new future overlord,
Murph. Overload. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Murph memes that are going to be
Murph
generated.
Killing baby
next.
Peanut and all that. Yeah.
Right. Right. Baby Peanut was one that I should have mentioned up top of like the thing spokes mascots were willing to get on board with because it's like, you know, in an overtly like Christian America, like, you know, where the mainstream is like very protective and being like one nation under God. They were like, okay, but this is a mascot where like that dies and immediately reproduces as a baby that it looks like the previous one. So yeah. Like very, very strange metaphysical ideas being presented. And we were like, yeah, okay, it's a Super Bowl commercial. It's fun.
All good.
All good. But fuck this Murph stuff. Michael Swaim, truly a pleasure as always having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, well, I made sure to be extra plug heavy this time, but in case you missed it, I'm at @Swaim_corp on Twitter. And my new show, If You Like Video Games at All, with @TheRealGans as my co-host, we do a little show called One-Upsmanship. That's one UPS Manship. And I sincerely hope you'll check it out.
Yeah, that's great. Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got two tweets.
Another weird post mascot.
I got one from Daddy at Gritzy Ross, who says, I barely play video games, but I like @SwaimCorp and @TheRealGans from their crack days. So I checked out One Upsmanship Pod just to see, and it's phenomenal.
There it is.
And that's my last plug, I swear. a tweet that's funny that I like is from @TheNateWolf, who wrote, do you think I reference dinosaurs too much when I write? I asked. She was silent, like the P in pterodactyl, but it said everything. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
That's so good. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Well, find me on Twitter and Instagram @MilesOfGray. Check out the new podcast, Lords of Soccer, a show I helped produce on iHeart, talking about the corruption at FIFA, the governing body of global soccer. The reason why we're not watching the World Cup right now is because FIFA just sells the tournament to the highest bidder. And so it's a really wonderful show that just came out. So I encourage you to check that out. Obviously, Mad Boosties, where the next episode, Jack and I will finally be talking about the finals concluding on our thoughts on that. And 420 Day Fiancé is the other podcast. Let's see, a tweet that I like. First one is from Divine @SheLoveYari, Y-A-R-I-I. It said, first two drinks don't count if you have anxiety. They just turn you into a normal person. Mm-hmm. And that tweet was blowing up over the weekend.
That was good.
Yeah, I used to take a few real big stress gulps at the beginning of a social affair. Mm-hmm. And then another one, Sarah Lazarus @SarahCLazarus tweeted, did I, quote, kill a plant, or did the plant not have what it takes to thrive in this fast-paced environment? And I think that's a very good way to look at it.
Two instant classics, yeah.
You can find me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien and on Mad Boosties, which is an official NBA podcast where they have officially endorsed that, even taking into account all the great basketball players that they employ, they can officially endorse that Miles and I have Mad Boosties. We can jump very high. I used to be able to get net. I think that's all you need to know.
Oh, man, I tried grabbing rim. I think I blew my index.
Did you? I haven't been on a basketball court in like 5 years.
I grossly overestimated what I could do with these days. So I gotta
that
get
has
my
been a calculated decision, by the way. I just don't want to go.
We got to do it. We got to go live on IG and just do a quick gym shoot around for people to see.
Yeah,
just people to see what that like, shit looks like.
Trying to be like, oh, you guys need to settle it on the court. I'm like, yeah. I mean,
it'll be like when Cory Booker went on Desus and Marrow.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, never watch people play basketball. You're not used to seeing them play basketball.
Tweet I've been enjoying, Lan Yardigan tweeted, love the deli papers on the doctor's table. I'm a sick little sandwich. And then this one, I didn't want to like start beef, but Pizza Bitch tweeted, my boyfriend's always talking about how the world needs a larger bean that can be sliced like a steak. I don't know, Michael.
I think any number of Looney Tunes would beg to disagree. I mean, you can already slice beans transparently thin if you want it bad enough, like if you're really hungry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd urge this person to, you know, just focus more on beans, work beans into their lifestyle, get to know beans and get back to me.
Subscribe to many small beans.
Anything bean related, send beans your money. You'll figure it out. You'll get there.
You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Okay, so this is a new band. Again, I love hearing music where I'm like, is this from now or from back then? They're called Dina Ogon, and there's an umlaut over the O, so D-I-N-A-O-G-O-N. And this track is called Tombola 94, T-O-M-B-O-L-A. And they're like this Swedish group
that is like getting very into retro style. So I think they were kind of describing themselves like, if you like Eric B and Rakim and Krungbin and like a few other bands, I'm like, these are all great things to say you're influenced by. It's just really kind of like this, you know, like look into the past with modern eyes, which is one of my favorite genres. I love to see people kind of playing with all the different textures. So check this song out, Tombola 94 by Dina Olga, or Ergon.
Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. We will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.